Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Kevin David Thomas.
Robert W. Schneider.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. Happy Throwback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday.
Kevin...
I don't know.
That was Sunday.
I went with it.
I heard it.
Thursday.
What are you doing?
By the blue room in Rob Schneider's apartment.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Why don't we just call it Sunday in the Park with George?
I'm excited to see that, but I hear you got to get your tickets because it's going fast.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. Ooh. You know what I just saw?
What?
I want to be in the room where it happens.
Oh.
I don't want to be in it because I was in it, my
friends.
Yeah,
Hamilton.
I saw Hamilton.
How was it?
Amazing. Amazing.
Awesome.
It's what everybody says it is.
It is, right? I mean, it really is.
There's no ifs, ands, or man about it. Lin-Manuel.
Love that guy.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is a genius. That you don't need me to tell you that because everybody else is telling you that.
Yeah.
I've loved him since In the Heights.
Same. I saw In the Heights off Broadway, and I was like, oh.
Okay, I didn't see it off Broadway. I saw it on Broadway 3 times.
Oh, yes. Me too.
I was obsessed with it.
Same.
I was like, God,
this is new sound. This is different. This is special. And this is a man. I should remind people that yes, it's a hip hop album and he's got the mixtape and all that. This is a man who studied the art form of theater writing, that was writing letters back and forth to Sondheim as he was finding his own voice. That he worships this art form.
I would love to have him on this show, just not even so much to talk about his work, which is brilliant,
yes,
but to talk about other people's work and hear what inspired him.
Totally, because he's sunk his teeth into all the old traditional musical theater, all of the styles.
He makes a Cole Porter reference,
yep,
in In the Heights.
Yep.
And you just think to yourself, I love you so much.
Totally.
And apparently he's a very nice artist as well. He's a good person.
Yeah.
I find the more talented someone is, the nicer they usually are, because I don't think they have anything to prove.
I think that's very true usually.
That's probably why I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Get away from me, kid. You bother me. I have a confession to make.
Oh, yeah?
It's going to be awkward, Kevin.
Ooh.
It's going to be an awkward one.
That's okay.
I asked your wife if I should even mention this.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to do it anyway. There was a picture of you. You had frosted tips.
Well, we posted. It was sort of like...
See, I didn't... Well, just so our listeners understand, I think we all have access to our Twitter account. So we don't know who posts what every once in a while.
Oh, for our Broadway Curtain account.
For Broadway Curtain,
that
yes.
That is correct.
Not our personal
Yeah,
accounts.
I was like, yes. But we do. We all share the duties of the social media.
Well, this cute little guy shows up on my feed, and I'm like, who's this?
Like, what?
Who's this little guy waiting for his Book of Mormon open call? I know, he's going to sing Forest Through the Trees.
Oh, God. It is.
And then I look closer, and I'm like, oh, it's Kevin. I felt awkward. Because I think of you like a brother.
Oh, God, it was like 2003.
I looked at you for a moment, Kevin, and it was awkward.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, now I know what a lot of our listeners go through.
Well, It was a...
Damn it, he's straight.
Not in that picture. I was like, I mean, like, I don't know why. I was working for Disney Cruise Line. It was a port day. I went to get my hair cut, and the lady who... it was 2003, but she still had a firmly put in the 90s still. And she convinced me that frosted tips are the way to go. And I acquiesced, and so that was a picture that was proof that I had the tips frosted. And it was, let's just say I didn't last long.
Okay, so Sutton, Kevin's wife, if you have more pictures, you know my email address. I will be more than happy to pay for the Shutterfly account so I can create my own album of Kevin with frosted tips, which I will keep under my mattress. Next to my Playbill collection, not my Playboy collection.
What's funny is that we don't have, and I don't want this to be like in my day, but I don't have a lot of pictures of myself in that time period because I didn't take a lot of pictures. B, I did not have a device with me that took pictures.
No, you needed to have like a real camera.
Yeah. And like Sutton, well, she takes pictures all day. All the time. Like her Instagram is on fire. Well, it's because she loves it. She loves taking pictures, but I just was never a big picture person and never lived in a time when we just didn't do that. You had to have a special device that you brought with you. Yeah. So consequently, there are very few pictures of me of that time. And that's why it was so epic when I do find one that's so dated. I mean, God,
if anyone out there has photos of Kevin David Thomas circa 2002 to 2005.
Wait, in 2000, I was the Yellow Brick Road personified at a theater in Holland, Michigan called Hope Summer Repertory Theater. And I wore a gold unitard. And we would come out, and instead of have the Yellow Brick Road that you walk on, we would just point the direction, be like, that's me cheesy smiling, but in a gold unitard. There are no pictures of that at all.
Okay. PBS, why are you spending so much time doing a documentary about Lin-Manuel Miranda when we've got all of this stuff that needs to be uncovered here? The hell is wrong with you people?
I know.
Get on it. Jen Tepper, no more untold stories of Broadway. Untold stories of Kevin David Thomas.
The summer stock years.
Come on, people.
Oh, God.
Get on this. My God.
Oh, it's a time to be forgotten.
It's no, because you look great. You still look great. But you're like a brother to me, and for that one moment,
God, I love it.
Oh, I had a Southern Family urge.
Oh, God.
Now I understand. Now I get it.
And to think I only put that picture up because of your picture with B. Arthur, that beautiful picture of you.
That wasn't beautiful.
Harassing B. Arthur in that car.
I'm wearing a Little Orphan Annie toupee.
And if you guys are wondering what we're talking about, please go back a couple episodes ago and listen to Rob tell the story of the time that he forced himself onto Beatrice Arthur.
I did not force myself, and that is not what the judge said.
And you get to see his unit.
My unit in all of its glory and splendor.
That's right.
I was going for those chestnut colors.
Oh, God. It was tinted red.
I wonder
red.
If we had the same hairstylist.
Oh, my God.
I love some frosted tips. Well, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for indulging me.
Well, thank you for indulging me and my
picture. I'm
sorry
that this is awkward.
No, not at all.
I hope somebody writes fan fiction about us.
No, it's funny when someone's like, you looked so great back then. You're like,
but isn't that true? Like, you look at an old picture. See, when you're in the moment,
I thought I was a fat ass back then.
I was, me too. I was
so
like,
self-deprecating.
So fat, and I look so stupid.
I know.
And now I look at a picture, I'm like, oh, I look pretty good.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, now I feel so fat.
Well, 10 years from now, we're going to be like,
I'm great. Yeah.
Done.
I'm great.
That's life. So, what's your favorite?
That's life.
What do you got today?
Oh, my gosh. Kevin.
Yeah?
I have a documentary for you.
Woo!
I love that. This is actually the documentary that got me into Stephen Sondheim.
Oh. Is it the company one?
No. You know what? It's not the company one. We used to have a video store in Thousand Oaks, California, where I grew up, called Video for You.
Video for You.
Which had an extensive adult section that I was not allowed to go into, but luckily it was by the theater section.
Oh my God.
So I could do a little peek to see.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's what
I will not
like.
Tell you the name of the first pornographic movie I ever owned, because that's disgusting, but I got it from Video for You.
Did you really?
Yes. I'll tell you right now. It was called
Five Guys Named Mo.
What musicals sound like pornos if you didn't know what they were? Five Guys Named Mo. Legally Blonde.
Ain't Misbehavin'.
Ain't Misbehavin'. Which I feel
Dream
like a,
Girls.
Dream Girls. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like a 1930s.
It does.
Porn.
Yeah,
like
it
you
does.
Put like a thing in the Nickelodeon.
Sweeney's Todd.
Oh, Sweeney's Todd. That's a good one.
I like this game.
That's a good. Balls are ringing.
Oh, I see
little,
what you did there.
Pun there.
Yeah, I saw what you did there. You turned it a little bit.
Pun.
Yeah.
Ironically, oh, Calcutta, not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much. Company. Yeah.
Company.
Oh, you're so smart.
Meanwhile, I'm like horrified my parents are listening to this right now.
They've shut us off.
Oh, God.
They've turned on cereal. They want to know what's happening with Adnan.
Oh, God.
So anyway, they didn't have an extensive collection, but what they did have was the Follies in Concert.
I just watched that recently.
Isn't it amazing?
God, it's good.
So for our listeners who are not aware, Follies was this incredibly epic musical that came out in the early 1970s. People who saw it originally said it was the best theatrical experience of their life. And unfortunately, when they recorded the soundtrack, oh my God, forgive me, bad. When they recorded the cast recording,
yes.
Because it was on a record, they didn't have time for all the music.
That's right.
So they cut a lot of stuff.
Like One More Kiss.
One More Kiss was gone. Yeah. There was dance music was
really truncated.
Oh, my God.
Really all the incidental stuff. Yeah.
You know, just a lot of – and it's a beautiful piece. Just so many of it, yeah. So much of it went away. In 1985, Lincoln Center said, what if we went back and did a definitive recording of the show that featured all of the songs in its entirety? And they did this all-star concert – which had not really been done before. That's right. Something I think people forget. This is like pre-encores, pre all the Lincoln Center, you know, Candide, Sweeney Todd stuff. Right. This was new.
Like we rehearsed for a week and then you put it up.
They got 4 days.
That's even crazier.
4 days off book with the New York Philharmonic behind you. And the casting of this was genius because they cast the biggest Broadway stars at the time to come together and put this thing on. And then they also cast people that had a little bit more resonance with the songs they were singing. So, for example, Broadway Baby, which is all about a person who's been on Broadway for years and years and years, went to Elaine Stritch.
Of course.
And not the Weissmans. What are they called? The Whitmans. Theodore and Emily Whitman. Yeah, is that their name?
Listen to the
Rain on the Roof, which is supposed to be this cute little married couple that have been together for years performing. Who do they cast?
Betty
Comden and Adolph Green.
Yeah.
So there's all this significance.
It's great to see them perform again.
Right? Now, here's something I found out. I don't know if this is true or not. I'd love to find out. That originally, Elaine Stritch was supposed to sing I'm Still Here.
Oh.
And Mary Martin was going to sing Broadway Baby.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if that would have happened?
And Mary Martin, I think, dropped out. And they moved Elaine Stritch up. And then I think they put Carol Burnett in. And I think Carol Burnett was supposed to sing Who's That Woman? And then they put Phyllis Newman. So it's this whole big thing. So I don't know if that's true or not. Anyway, the documentary captures the four-day rehearsal process that all of these big stars come together.
Herb Ross was the...
Herb Ross directed it, and he had a family emergency, so
that's
he
right.
leaves.
He had to leave. That's right.
Like halfway
so dramatic.
Through the process.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's a great line with Elaine Stritch where she's going ready for her interview, and she has her purse on the table, and she's like, the cameraman said, I'm supposed to move the bag. I thought he was talking about me. But now
she's
you
like
brought
classic.
This up because you worked with her.
Yeah.
You said... Did you say this on the podcast? I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is the table read of A Little Night Music when Bernadette Peters went in.
One of my
Tell
stories.
Tell this story again.
Okay. And you, listeners, do forgive me if you've heard this before. Because you know how people are with their stories. You tell the same stories over and over and over again. But my favorite Stritch story, well, one of my favorites, is the first time we're doing the table read. So when I did A Little Night Music, they replaced Bernadette and Stritch placed Catherine Zeta and Angela Lansbury. And so it's the regular cast, the rest of the cast stayed the same, right? All 13 of us. So we're having our first table read. We're going to Roundabout Studios because it's a little more private. We're all like real pumped up because it's like shit, it's Bernadette and it's Stritch. So we're real excited. We get sit in a circle, you know, you do very intimate, very, everyone's all really close to each other. I'm sitting next to Stritch. Stritch is next to Bernadette, and then Bernadette's next to Alex Hansen, who played Frederick. It gets to the, everyone's waiting for Bernadette to sing Send in the Clowns because it's Bernadette and we've really never heard her sing that before. In Desiree was a part that she was a dream role. In fact, the show was supposed to close and Sondheim kept it open because he was like to Trevor Nunn, the director, hey, why not Bernadette in the part? And Trevor's like, she's too old, because on paper she's 64 at the time, and he wanted Desiree to be like 40, like the age that she's supposed to be in the show. But anyway, worked out. She took it because she always wanted to play it. So she starts singing. It's like do 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 do. She starts singing, and it's at this exact moment that she's halfway through the first verse that Stritch decides that it's time to check her insulin levels. So Stritch gets her, and of course Stritch always has like a really loud bag that's like next to her.
Yes.
So she starts rustling through the bag. Bernadette's like, me here at last on. She's ruffling around. She pulls out her checker, pricks her finger, puts it on the thing. It's like beep, 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 beep. So she has to, it's Bernadette still sitting, and everyone's like, but everyone's doing that thing where we're not trying to stare at Stritch, but we're trying to focus on Bernadette. But you can't help but notice this person who's checking their insulin levels. And listen, my uncle's got diabetes. Like, I get it. Like, you have to check your insulin levels when you need to check your insulin levels. But I just think it's funny that she chose this moment to pull focus, and I love her for it. But and so then she, so beep beep beep, she needs insulin. So Bernadette goes on to the second verse and does a little scene let inside the song with Alex, and then Stritch pulls up her shirt, no, takes out the syringe, flicks it, lets some of the insulin come out, pulls up her shirt, takes some of her belly, sticks it in there, wraps it up, rustle, rustle in the bag. The song's coming to an end. Well, maybe next year. And then Stritch finishes her work, puts the bag down, sits there with her hands, and claps louder than everybody when Bernadette gets done singing. Like, Stritch is like, oh, beautiful, beautiful. And so, that was the introduction. And I had since socialized, you know, we went to see our cellist play a concert once at like a YMCA or something. And I was friends with Rob Bowman, who was her music director and friend. And so the three of us went to see our friend Mary play. And of course, she did the exact same thing. Mary starts playing that Bach, like, do, 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 do. There's Stritch, gets her bag, rustle, rustle. So it's just a clap. So when I see her do those kinds of tactics,
yes,
during documentaries, I it's familiar to me. I'm, well, like, oh yeah, there's Stritch doing her act, doing her thing.
So you need to keep an eye out.
It's a nervous
for this.
Thing because she's nervous.
Okay. Oh, it's
I think it's a slightly insecurity thing, and it was like, it was nerves. You know?
You got to see it on the documentary because I'll tell you where
it.
To look. For
she totally does
the
it. On
best
the
best is it's Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
In the rehearsal room, belting out "I'm Still Here," and everyone's looking at her like, "Oh my God, that's Carol Burnett." Yeah. Not Elaine Stritch.
Nope.
First of all, she's wearing the shortest shorts I've ever seen in my life. I know gay men in Hell's Kitchen would be like, that's too short. She's wearing her sailor cap.
Yep.
And she's literally rustling around in this big white bag while Carol Burnett is singing. It is so clearly pulling focus.
Classic.
Now, I have to tell you a moment that I really like in the Follies documentary.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody else picks up on it.
Ooh.
But I really hope that there's a story behind it. Here we go.
Okay.
Right before the opening night, right before they go on, they're filming like the people walking around the backstage corridor.
I love
corridor.
How nervous they all are. Love that you see
friends.
These stars really nervous.
So once again, ladies and gentlemen, 4 days of music rehearsal.
Yeah.
You are singing with the New York Philharmonic. You are singing Sondheim. No music, no teleprompters, nothing.
And it's Follies, you know? I mean, like...
And they're being told, you have to get it right, guys, because we're recording it. This is the definitive record. You can't screw it up. So everyone's really nervous. But there's a moment where Carol Burnett passes by Adolph Green, and they give each other a curt little, like, smile. How are you? And they keep passing. And I mean, that's so odd to me.
They wrote Fade Out, Fade In. I mean, they wrote her musical.
But remember what happened with Fade Out, Fade In?
She left,
and there was
all
lawsuit.
That drama.
So I was always wondering, is that what that smile was about?
That's good. That's fascinating.
It happens really quickly, and I'm like, why are they? I'm like,
we have to ask Carol if we ever interview her someday.
Carol, what was going on with that little smile that you gave?
Yeah, we saw that. Here, we're going to play it for you. Tell us. Reactions?
Tell us what's that. We'll play that for her, and then we'll play Moon Over Broadway.
Oh, my God.
And she can just give us a commentary.
And then she'll be like, guys, thanks. I'm out of here.
Guys, thank you so much for giving
We don't want to talk about your TV show, Carol. We want to talk about the Broadway, the good stuff.
Let's talk about the Broadway. Let's talk about putting it together.
She's great in The Follies, though. I do think she's
I think she's great. Isn't she great in that?
Yeah.
So, and anyway, for the rest of just so you know, really quickly, the rest of the cast, it's George Hearn, Lee Remick, Barbara Cook. And this was really a big thing for Barbara Cook because I think this really solidified she's the Sondheim interpreter.
That's true.
I think because up until that point, she ran Mandy Patinkin, who does a Buddy's Blues where he's not only Buddy, but Buddy's wife and Buddy's mistress.
It's like he basically did a line of coke and then did the song.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And there, it's weird. There's some... There's, like, on the album, I think, there's a photo of him wearing, like, an electronic bow tie.
Oh, weird.
That, like, lights up. But then in the video, they don't have it. So I'm wondering if they made changes between, like, the dress rehearsal and the fur. I would love if somebody could just release all the footage they've shot.
Because it's clearly, you're right. And my complaint with that sometimes is, like, I want more. I want more of the documentary involved. Yeah. And I want more of the performances, too. I guess I can't have my cake and eat it, too. But in our Jim Walton that we interviewed.
Howard McGillin, who we interviewed.
I forgot about that, too.
Liz Calloway.
Yeah,
is one of the young people. So anyway, this is really, it's really special. It's a really special documentary, and it's what got me interested in Sondheim. Because I think I was 11 or 12, and I saw it, and I was getting back interested in theater again, and I was like, oh, this must be Follies, the musical.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to get it, and it wasn't, but oh my God, I think it's a wonderful look at how all that comes together, and I've been very lucky because I got to work on the Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd with Lonnie. Yeah.
With Lonnie. And that was, you know, Audra McDonald and Emma Thompson and Christian Borle. And that had 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. And still everyone felt like, God, we got to, you know, rush this and put this together. And, geez, imagine 4 days.
I know. I really do appreciate that it's of an era when documentaries weren't overproduced. They were very much like handheld camera. You know, like today, sometimes my complaints with some things today is like, I feel like, how'd that camera guy get in the room and say that this is the first time we've entered the room? You know, that kind of thing. And I really love how raw it is. You get how scared these stars are to go on stage. And it's just a real, it's an honest look into what a rehearsal situation is like at the top level. And it's actually just like any other level. There's no real levels. Everyone's scared and everyone's, you know, trying to do the best work possible under these circumstances.
I'm going to end with this little anecdote.
Yeah.
And then we'll go on to your thing if that's okay.
Oh,
somebody said to me that when they did the dress rehearsal of the concert, Thomas Shepard, who was recording it, who we should get. I would love to get him. Said to everybody, listen, in case something goes wrong in the performances, we are recording this dress rehearsal because we want it to be a clean cut. Mm. So what I need you all to do is after each number, you cannot applaud. You cannot applaud. We need really clean endings. So you can't applaud anyone. So nobody knew, but I mean, okay, so think about it. The beautiful girls moment comes on, right? Here comes Lee Remick, Barbara Cook, Carol Burnett, Elaine Stritch, Lillianne Montevecchi, Phyllis Newman, Betty Comden, and you can't applaud.
Crickets.
You can't applaud. So somebody said, they said they call that dress rehearsal homo torture.
Because, you know, everyone's in that audience, like...
Because you know.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine a concert today where, like, one after another, it's like Audra, Rebecca Luker, Laura Osnes.
Bernadette.
Yeah. Patty.
Totally.
Like, Maren Maisie.
No.
Donna Murphy.
People will lose their shit.
People will be like, you don't know what to do. So can you imagine just, like, sitting there being like, I can't applaud.
Oh,
so they call that homo torture. Which I thought was so funny.
That's funny.
So, okay, so that was very long.
That was a good one. That's
Follies
a really great
concert.
One.
I love it. Kevin, what do you got?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well, I actually, something a little different this time. I think this might be the first time that we've done something like this. I do not have a musical. I do not have a website. I do not have a DVD or a book. I have a theater company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is a theater company I've actually worked for years ago, like over a decade ago. They do concerts. So to transition, they do concerts. They are very affordable. They are very bare bones in their work. But I think what they do is stellar in that they bring back shows that are lost and forgotten. You know, theater company.
I know exactly what theater company.
What is it?
You're talking about Musicals Tonight.
Musicals Tonight, exclamation mark.
Run that by the wonderful Mel Miller.
That's exactly right. Mel has been doing this for years. Since 1998, he's been doing this. And just to give you an idea of the kind of work they do a season of four or five shows. They run for like a good 3 weeks. I was trying to do some research. It used to be what's called an equity showcase, meaning that in return for getting the equity actors for such a cheap price, other equity actors can see the performances for free using your equity card. Regardless, the performances are all $30 anyway. So it's now that's how much they cost. And I think it kind of is like what the Equity Showcase Library used to do in the 80s, you know, of doing these sort of bare bones performances. But they bring back these old shows that maybe, you know, some of them don't necessarily need to see the light of day, but it's still as a celebration of, you know, we all know that Cole Porter did Anything Goes, but did you know the other shows that he wrote that were maybe not as popular as that? And so the piece that I did, for instance, in like 2003 was a piece called Primrose that George Gershwin wrote in England. It had never been performed in the United States.
Wow.
Ever. There was a reason why, but so this was the world premiere of a new Gershwin musical in the United States, and it was, you know, it wasn't the greatest show in the world, but it's still pretty cool to see the work that was done in the 1920s and 30s being done today. So, for instance, their season this year, they do a mix of like unknown and known stuff. So this year they did Funny Face by the Gershwin guys. They did a musical by Noel Coward that's a world premiere, must never have been done in the United States, called Hoi Polloi. Can't say I know any songs from that musical. But then they're doing like Louisiana Purchase. That has a cast album. They're doing Anything Goes, and they're doing DuBarry Was a Lady.
You know who's directing DuBarry Was a Lady?
Who?
Our guest, Evan Pappas.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Evan is doing it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I love Musicals Tonight. In fact, it's so funny. I recently reached out to Mel.
You did?
And was like, I would love to direct for you anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
So, Mel, Kevin and I have a list of 77,000 musicals we would love... to deal with you.
Oh my gosh.
So just give us the space and we'll
really great organization. I think that it's solid that he keeps reaching back into history and bringing these pieces back to life again.
I think one of the great things about Musicals Tonight, as opposed to something like Encores, what we have in this, and Encores is great, don't get me wrong. Encores needs to fill City Center.
That's right.
Which is massive. The nice thing about Musicals Tonight, it's always done in an intimate environment, so they don't have to worry about, you know, God, we've got to put a big show like a Big River that everybody knows in there to get ticket sales to afford this other stuff. They're able to do what they want and celebrate what they want. I love Musicals Tonight.
Yeah.
And there are a whole bunch of them around the country. Not Musicals Tonight specifically, but companies like Musicals Tonight, like 42nd Street Moon in San Francisco.
Just gonna say that. Music Theater Works, do they?
Yeah, I think they do
stuff. They
don't
always do older stuff, but the 42nd Moon definitely does.
Oh, Musical Theater Guild in L.A.
Uh-huh.
Does a season of five or so shows like that.
I think it's important that we don't lose the history of these shows. And no, I mean, friends, there's a reason why we're not doing Primrose all the time. However, I think there is something to get out of seeing a production of it, you know, and celebrating that old art form.
Listen, unlike people that love movies or love art or love books, we can't go back to it.
Nope. Nope.
You know, if you go like, oh my God, I love movies. I'd love to see, you know, Smiles of a Summer Night. You can Netflix, DVD, yeah, you're easy. Fine. You have it. We don't. So the fact that they're putting these pieces up again for us to see allows us who appreciates the art really get a sense of what was going on.
Yes. And Mel has done a great job of cultivating an audience to expect that, to appreciate that. Hey, maybe you don't know this unknown George Gershwin title, but come see it because it's still George Gershwin. You know, he still wrote all this other great stuff.
Exactly.
It's still Clint O'Cower. It's still Rodgers and Hart. And it's always almost, I think it's always golden age stuff. Sometimes he'll do lesser known things from like the 60s and 70s, but almost all of it's old traditional standards.
Which is marvelous.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to get some of this stuff. And it's also sometimes it's some stuff that I think encores really can't
right
do
no
for whatever reason,
yeah,
and that's fine. So musicals tonight fills a wonderful
yeah
hole in our knowledge, and I think it's great. So
yeah, if you've never seen anything there, give it a try. Pick a title that you might want to. Louisiana Purchase starts at the end of the month.
Yeah,
and you know, why not go see
and
it?
If you aren't living in New York, see if there's anything like this in your city, and if there isn't, start it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin and I will be out there in a heartbeat.
Sure.
If you're going to do Henry, Sweet Henry, we'll be there with bells on.
That's right. Oh, brother, bring it.
Oh, I like Oh, Brother a lot. I know we can't do it now because it's really offensive, but
I know.
I would really like to see a production of it at some point. Oh, my God. Oh, all right. God. So, musicals tonight. What a great choice.
Yeah. And Follies, the documentary. Brilliant.
Awesome. All right, my friends. Folks. Listen to both, see both, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I dreamed a dream of days to come where sponsorship is high and money is forthcoming.
That's beautiful, Kevin.
I really added a voice onto that one, too. I really was trying to go for something there.
Listeners, we love creating this podcast, but it does cost money. Please don't make me sell my Angel record.
Oh, my gosh. The original cast recording of Angel.
That, like, nobody has.
Nobody has it.
If you like what we are doing and want to keep doing more of it, please head over to patreon.com.
What?
That's patreon.com.
Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah,
Patreon.
Rion.
Patreon.
Yeah, and once you're there, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends. And of course, we don't expect you to give without receiving some great rewards.
Such rewards include behind-the-scenes videos, shout-outs on future episodes, or episodes, depending on what part of the country you're from, because I said episodes, and early access to some of our podcasts. Hell, for the right price, Kevin and I will come to your apartment and act out all of Agnes of God.
So head over, friends, to patreon.com to help us out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.